And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is what the future might look like. Each of my guests is presenting his perspective on how the future can be shaped for the better. My next guest is a professional futurist who uses a trend-blending methodology to produce stunningly accurate predictions of the future. We'll examine the future trends and the resulting management strategies successful businesses are employing. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to ask a question, you can call us at 639-0008. And that's the same number that you will use if you want to win two sandwiches or two salads from Urbane Cafe. I'll be giving those away to the fourth caller at 639-0008, 639-0008. Call in and win just in time for lunch today. My next guest, Warren Evans, corporate roots are in sales and marketing management with bottom line responsibilities. From the late 1970s to the mid-1990s, he was the president of the Service Excellent Group, a boutique consulting firm. Since the mid-1990s, Warren has worked as an independent, focusing on trends analysis and strategic planning components that were always a part of his work. Often running up against conventional wisdom, Warren's trend-blending approach has allowed him to have a completely long track record of being ahead of the curve and seeing how the convergence of trends will actually impact organizations. Warren was the third of only 15 people to date inducted into the Canadian Speaking Hall of Fame, and he's the recipient of numerous other awards and designations. He's based just outside of Toronto, Canada. Joining us from Toronto, Canada. Hi, Warren. How are you today?
Hey, Billy. I'm real good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. We're very much thrilled to have you as a thought leader on board. And the most thought-provoking thing that I've heard you say recently is your unusual perspective on the current recession. You state that the biggest danger in this current recession is that it won't last long enough. Now, that's an odd statement, especially since some of us, many of us, are working harder and harder to make ends meet. So explain what you mean by that, it won't last long enough.
the comment really is delivered to a lot of business owners and managers and entrepreneurs, and the suggestion is that in every scenario where we've got this kind of tumult going on in a marketplace, there are also grand opportunities here. And what we're seeing is an awful lot of businesses that are so hard focused on, you know, the next 2 weeks, the next 30 days, the next 60 days. And there are other businesses that are taking 10% of their time or 15% of their time to rethink how they're positioning their business, what they're doing, why they're doing, how they're doing. And those folks are going to be prepared to absolutely lap the field as things start to turn around. So, for some in this business, for lots of businesses, this recession won't last long enough. And by the time the sunshine comes back out, they're going to find themselves a lap and a half behind the people who are using this opportunity to do some innovative stuff and rethinking their business.
Well, that's interesting. Do you have any examples of companies that you can share with us that you already see taking advantage of this and moving ahead of the pack?
Well, we see all sorts of small organizations doing that kind of thing, coming out with innovative sort of things and coming up with niche things. But I think the fascinating place is when even large organizations can do this sort of thing. I was working in Johannesburg a few years back, and one of the things that was going on at one of the big gold mining companies at the time, gold was about $400 or $500 an ounce, and they were going through an exercise that said, "How do we keep this place profitable if gold drops to $200 an ounce?"
Wow! Imagine that.
They started to do some of those things, and you can imagine what they look like now. Caterpillar Tractor here in the U.S., the Caterpillar heavy equipment folks.
Yes.
Went through about an 8-month exercise of thinking through what would happen down the road if our sales suddenly fell by 50%. How would we keep our dealers healthy? How would we stay financially healthy? And then, as it would happen, 18 months later, when it hit the fan in a big way, they just went into the back of the drawer, pulled out the blue file, they had the plan, everybody executed, and they are still being very healthy today, even though their sales dropped tremendously. Their service, they knew has picked up. They knew exactly what to do. So it happens at every size and level of organization. It's a question of, do we take a few minutes to think through what would we do differently, what could we do differently, And for many businesses, of course, the answer is let's not wait till it hits the fan. Let's just do it now.
My guest is Warren Evans, a futurist. And Warren, just to solidify your point about Caterpillar, last year, 2010, one of the best performing Dow stocks, I think it was the best performing Dow stock, was Caterpillar as a result of all those preparations. Let's turn our attention away from that. I want to focus on demographics because woke up this morning, I was feeling kind of old. And there's a lot of stuff out there about we're getting old as a society and this is going to change the whole world and so forth. And the media is full of stories. And I'm a victim of this myself, talking about four generations in the workplace at the same time, the traditionalists, the baby boom generation, Gen X, Gen Y. Talk to me about this. What does it mean for people who are running a business, this whole getting older, the graying of the population on a worldwide basis?
Well, Billy, let me talk to that quickly in two sort of ways. One is general to everything you hear from the keynote stage of the convention you go to the books you read and the blogs and all the rest of this stuff. First off, stop and think before you accept something you hear or read. One of the things that's going on out there is life expectancy has changed so dramatically from 150 years ago or whatever, when life expectancy was 38 years old. Now life expectancy is 62 years old, and we're all going to live to be 78 now. And so on. And so this is going to radically transform our entire society because it's totally different. This is silly. Stop and think about this for a moment. The statistical numbers are correct. But the reality is, if you were born in Europe in 1850, if you lived to be 10 years old, you'd probably live to be 60. So this business of, everybody died when they were 38 years old, that's silly. There were old people then, too. It's infant mortality that's changed that. So take some of this stuff with a little bit of grain of salt. It's a little bit like your comment, Billy, but, I've heard speakers saying, this is the first time in history of four generations working together in the workplace. And I sit back and say, so you're telling me I have a 22-year-old, a 40-year-old, a 55-year-old, and a 63-year-old in the office, and this has never, ever happened before? It's happened for ages. Here's what is true. That businesses need to be paying attention to. And this is just raw demographics. This is the numbers. You have that fresh young group you're talking about coming in. You have the wise and experienced group at the top end. I get to call them that because I'm in that group and I get to make up the labels. And you have a middle group that is an experienced bunch. The most valuable thing in the universe right now is a 42-year-old with a good track record and some solid experience and industry knowledge. These are the people who will get stolen from you. These are the people you cannot hire simply because there are not enough of them. This has two implications. One is if you've got some key people in your business that are in that middle bracket that, early mid-30s through to sort of mid-40s, take them out to lunch, rehire your stars is what I say. Let's have some career conversations with them because the rest of the world's coming after them. The other thing is you need to put some mechanisms in place in your business so that you can transfer some of the context, horizon, wisdom, experience, etc., from the gray hair group at the top end of that bunch down to the younger group that are in their 20s and very early 30s, because some of those folks in that group, you're going to have 28-year-olds running a piece of your business in short order because you just don't have enough folks with more experience. So that's not necessarily, formal mentoring structures we can't, get in place effectively, but it does mean we can throw these people together to do things together so that some of that rubs off with each other. That is the smart thing to do. Here's a frightening thing. If you've got 100 folks in your organization, put your org chart on the wall, color code everybody by age. Then step back from the wall, look at your org chart. Now you know where some of your strategic priorities are from a staffing point of view.
Oh, my guest is Warren Evans. He's a futurist. We're talking about future trends that we need to pay attention to today. And Warren, I like what you have to say, especially about the older people transferring knowledge to the younger people. However, this is maybe the first time in history, and you may correct me if I'm wrong here, but the first time in history where the younger group actually has more practical knowledge that they need to transfer upwards rather than coming downwards. And specifically, I'm talking about the technology transfer that needs to happen from these young 20-somethings and 30-somethings upwards to the older generations that are in place so that they can make their businesses leaner, meaner, faster during this particular recession. Talk to me about that.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you, Billy, which I'm not going to do because it's your show, but I am going to add on to the thought for you. It is true, and what we call reverse mentoring makes a ton of sense. And a ton of sense, not just in the techno know-how stuff. We sort of have this assumption, you know, if you're in your mid-50s, you think everybody who's 22 years old knows how to do everything technological. In fact, we're a little bit like the generation before us that used to know how to take a carburetor apart on a car and put it back together again. Now we have no idea what happens when I turn that key. Either the car starts or it doesn't. I have no idea what goes under the hood. There's a lot of 22-year-olds with technology that same way. But what we can do is we can sit down with those folks, and the reverse mentoring mechanism is a thing. This is, do we spend an hour a week or whatever it is with some of those young folks just coming in and saying to them, here's what we want to accomplish as a business. Here's what we're trying to do. How would you go about doing that? It's the perspective. It's the approach that's genuinely different. It's not necessarily, you know, the techno wizardry at the back end. It's just a way of looking at it. And I think that's a real, real smart thing to be doing.
Now, my guest is Warren Evans. And Warren, I'm not going to let go of this quite so easily. Let's take a look at some of the things that are very pervasive right now in the news, in business. And I'm talking about social media vehicles like LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. How are these things changing our business today?
The biggest thing they've done is they have stolen ownership of your brand from you.
How so?
What the technology is doing is creating an unprecedented level of transparency. There was a point in time when I went and had a miserable experience with some interaction with an organization, and I would tell my friends and neighbors and relatives, and we heard all the stats from the 80s and 90s, and we were doing the service stuff and so on. But now, go on holidaysuncovered.com. Go on ratemyteacher.com. Go on any website, and what happens is in today's universe, the conversation in the marketplace owns your brand. What you're actually like to do business with on a day-to-day basis, the personality of your organization, if you like, owns your brand, and you cannot control that conversation. The very best you can do is participate in it, and this is a new thing. We need to figure out how to participate in that conversation in our organizations to be aware of it and to provide factual information so that perhaps we can shape it somewhat by participating in it.
All right, Warren, I'm going to hit the pause button for just a minute. So in order to participate in it, though, you need to be aware of it, what's going on out there. How do we even become aware of what's being said about our company, be it large or be it small? Where do you go to find out what's being said about you?
I think Google Alerts is an invaluable service, and there are other mechanisms. We need to have people designated inside our organization who are our digital relationships person. Even if we're a small organization, who responds to that email that came over in overnight from the website? Who reacts to that? That needs to be a decided thing, not dumped onto somebody we think has time.
Oh, boy. Now, wait a minute. Now you're talking about, in this economy, adding another body to my staff, somebody who's going to manage all of those digital relationships. How can I afford to do that?
Not necessarily. And I would. You don't necessarily need to add a body, but we need to reshape job functions so that somebody centrally is responsible for being able to do that, and I may not be able to afford to do it, but it's a little bit like the training game. Billy, what if I train all my people and they leave? You know, wrong question. What if I don't and they stay?
Yes.
The issue is not can I afford to do it. The issue is can I afford not to do it?
All right. Fair enough. And that's a great answer to that. My guest is Warren Evans. We're talking about trends for the future. And Warren, one of the things that you're known for in your speeches and so forth is that you characterize our current economy as the era of Hollywood days and cyber nights. What do you mean by that?
Hollywood days, meaning organizations are beginning to function the way Hollywood has always functioned. Instead of, you know, horizontal staff functions that are full-time that do the same thing over and over, we bring disparate groups of people together with specific skill sets to execute given projects. Once a project is done, never again does that same group assemble, certainly not for the same purpose. And the cyber knights are the people who work well in this environment. This is not a technical skill set. This is a headspace. Good with multiple priorities, good connecting strategy with the impact of what they're doing, and have a tendency to be the folks who got an A-plus in the works and plays well with other children when we were youngsters, which may be the most important part of any kid's scorecard these days at school.
Well, that is an interesting perspective, Warren. But let's talk about our education system briefly here, because our education system does not design us to think in those terms, at least formally doesn't train us to think in those terms. They really have been designed to help us to get a job once we get out of school. What needs to change in our educational system, or what perspectives need to change in our educational system to be better prepared for the 21st century?
I think what we need is we need much more cross-fertilization between sectors. There is a bit of an irony right now in most education systems, in most of the developed economies, Billy, where we have in this entrepreneurial, everybody's a free agent, create your own living kind of a universe, we have our kids being taught by the folks who mostly got out of school, joined the most platinum-plated union in the universe, and have never worked inside anything other than the education system. So we need a lot more cross-fertilization between the business community and the education community starting at a very young age. That's the only way we're going to break the innumeracy. We don't teach kids about finance. We don't teach kids about money. Yeah, we don't need to explore that at any length.
No.
And we don't teach them what creating a living is all about and how that actually functions in the universe, and yet the number of independents is growing by hundreds of percent per decade.
Oh, fascinating. My guest is Warren Evans. We're talking about the future. And you brought it up in that last answer about unions. So you track these human resource trends that are going on. You see the improvements in technology, et cetera. What do you see as the future of the labor union movement in the United States and Canada?
Well, I've said in a number of environments, the last place we'll see militant unionism is in France and the Canadian public sector. The reality is that the fundamental foundation of the union of the unions, who have done all sorts of good stuff, but have been so focused on fighting the old fight, they've lost the opportunity for the new one. Their foundation is that the people are interchangeable, and if you're standing on an assembly line, push tab A into slot B, bang bang bang, mind-numbing, soul-destroying, no-think kinds of work, then the only way you can differentiate is the people who've managed to survive it longer get seniority, therefore they get the goodies. In this universe, that simply does not function anymore. That simply does not work. There's almost none of those kinds of jobs left. And so what the unions need to do is make a shift that says, instead of protecting the worst of our members, our primary focus will be to guarantee quality to our employers and the customers out in the marketplace, and we will discipline our own. And we will give them the skills, and we will give them, and some are doing well at this. Some are doing much better than others, but that's the fundamental shift that needs to happen. And for our members, we will help them learn how to survive in this new universe.
That is great. My guest is Warren Evans. He's a futurist. We've been talking about future trends that we need to pay attention to today. Warren, a lot of wisdom in this whole interview. If people are intrigued by what they hear, they want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
WEvans.com.
WEvans.com. That's the best place to go. Warren, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. Look forward to talking to you down the road.
It was a pleasure, Billy. We'll look forward to doing that as well.
Thanks, Warren. Take care.